Welcome to the iPharmRx podcast, where we explore the evidence that informs ambulatory care pharmacy practice. I'm Stuart Haynes, host of the iPharmRx podcast. And in this episode, we're going to explore one of the most vexing therapeutic issues in practice today. We are all aware that statin therapy is a cornerstone for the prevention of cardiovascular events, and they are used by millions of Americans and millions more worldwide. There's no question that statins save lives and reduce the risk of myocardial infarction and stroke in patients who are at high risk for cardiovascular disease. And these benefits extend to a wide range of people, including older adults. But at some point in the course of one's life, the risk of statin therapy potentially outweighs its benefits. Many clinicians recommend discontinuing statins in patients who have a limited life expectancy, and some practitioners use age criteria whereby they automatically stop statins after age 75 or age 80, for example. While the benefits of statin therapy in the oldest old is not clearly known, a recent study published in the European Journal of Cardiology provides some data about the potential risks of stopping statin therapy. Joining me today to discuss this study are Dr. Marikar Khanson and Dr. Cheng Yuet. Dr. Khanson is a PGY2 ambulatory care resident with the University of North Texas College of Pharmacy, and Dr. Yuet is a ambulatory care clinical specialist with the JPS Health Network in Fort Worth, Texas. Together, they wrote a commentary for iPharmRx entitled "Age is Just a Number, Discontinue Statins with Care." Marikar, Cheng, thank you for joining me today for the iPharmRx podcast. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having us on here today, Stuart.
We look forward to being here. Thank you for the invitation.
Now, before we get started, I'd like to start with a patient case. I want you to imagine you're seeing LM, an 84-year-old Asian male, in the primary care clinic today for a routine follow-up visit. The patient has a long-standing history of high blood pressure, dyslipidemia, type 2 diabetes, and he's obese. The patient admits to having two falls at home in the past month. Luckily, he has no serious injuries. Otherwise, he feels fine. He routinely measures his blood pressure and blood glucose at home. Looking at his logbook, you note that his glucose readings have been in the 100 to 160 range most days, and his blood pressure readings are consistently less than 120 over 70. He currently takes metformin 1,000 milligrams twice daily, empagliflozin 10 milligrams daily, irbesartan hydrochlorothiazide 150 over 12.5 milligrams daily, and atorvastatin 20 milligrams daily. He currently weighs 209 pounds and his BMI is 35.4. His blood pressure measured in clinic today is 116 over 66, and he had a Chem7 and fasting lipid panel drawn this morning. His fasting glucose was 88, a serum creatinine of 1.1, LDL cholesterol of 62, HDL of 34, and triglycerides were 207 milligrams per deciliter. Although the patient has Medicare Part D to cover the cost of his medications, he states that he has limited means and even the copays of his medications can be pretty tough to afford. So he asks, might he be able to stop some of his medications because he's doing so well? So, Cheng, before we get into the details about the study you reviewed in your iPharmRx commentary, can you tell us a little bit about some of the things going through your mind in this case? What additional information might you want to collect about this patient and assess during this encounter? And are there any additional treatment options you'd be considering at this point?
This is a very common scenario that we encounter in clinic that often leads to a lot of back and forth with the patient. Personally, my dad's a very young 65, and he still asks me this question every single day. So the first step I would evaluate is just the patient's ASCVD risk factors and his other conditions in a very holistic manner. Which of his risk factors are modifiable and which ones are non-modifiable? In addition to the information in the case, I would like to know about the patient's family history, his lifestyle, and pertinent social history, such as tobacco use. The next step, the part that really concerns me the most is about those recent falls. So I want to know more information about the patient's ability to perform activities of daily living. How does he manage his medications at home? Does he manage them himself, or does someone in his family or some other caregiver help him with organizing his medications and checking his blood glucose, blood pressure, etc.? What are some potential causes for his recent falls? Is he having episodes of hypoglycemia that may be causing him to feel dizziness and then contribute to the falls? Other questions along with that vein include, how is he tolerating his current medications? And if he's able to take care of himself, or if he has assistance with a caregiver, could we further optimize his lifestyle interventions today? So now moving on to the evaluation of his medications, it would be helpful to know really what is his monthly cost for medications, and how is that a discrepancy between how much he's able or willing to spend on them? Are his copays more or less expensive than the medications and we see on the $4 list? And perhaps we can interchange those medications if they're comparable options. With regards to specific conditions today, I would definitely recommend checking a hemoglobin A1C to help us determine if we could de-escalate his diabetes medications, especially the empagliflozin. And I say that because that medication is currently only available as a brand name medication, which could be associated with a higher copayment for this patient.
So, Maricar, let's talk now about the study you critiqued in your iFormerX commentary. The study is entitled Cardiovascular Effect of Discontinuing Statins for Primary Prevention at the Age of 75 Years, a Nationwide Population-Based Cohort Study in France. The study was published in the European Heart Journal in November 2019, and we provide a link to that paper on the iFormerX website. But for those in our audience who haven't actually read that paper yet, can you give us a brief summary of the study design and its major findings?
So this study was a retrospective population-based cohort study out of France, and they utilized national healthcare databases to look at patients who turned 75 years of age in the years 2012 to 2014, who had a statin medication possession ratio of greater than or equal to 80% in each of the previous 2 years. Patients who had a history of cardiovascular disease or related in-hospital procedures within the previous 2 years were excluded from this trial. The primary outcome this study was looking at was hospital admissions for a cardiovascular event classified as coronary, cerebrovascular, and other vascular events. The major finding from this study was that patients who were greater than or equal to 75 years of age, who were previously adherent for at least 2 years to their statin therapy, upon discontinuation of the statin therapy, there was a 33% increased risk of admission for a cardiovascular event.
Now, Maricar, as we all know, cohort studies inherently have several limitations. Nonetheless, they can provide some important insights when we don't have randomized controlled trials to guide us. So what do you believe are some of the key strengths and weaknesses of this study? Because observational studies are prone to confounders, what did the investigators do to mitigate some of their impact?
So a few strengths of this study includes that they did evaluate adverse effects of statin discontinuation. Also, they did account for certain confounders, such as the time-varying confounder. And they also reported the use of other medications that could impact cardiovascular outcomes. However, kind of leading into the limitations portion, they did not examine all medications that could possibly affect cardiovascular outcomes. A few other limitations also includes they were unable to assess the cause of death, since the study investigators did not have access to this information via the database they utilize. And this limits the ability to find the cardiovascular mortality impact. They also may have misclassified some of the prevention groups based on the exclusion criteria laid out in the study design. A few confounders that may be the complexity of the patient, i.e. the health history, as more severe or complex patients may be more prone to cardiovascular events. While the results of the study are interesting, we should still proceed with caution and be wary of the limitations.
So Chang, let's return to the case. Should LM continue atorvastatin, or is this something you'd consider deprescribing at this point given the patient's advanced age? And would your answer be different if LM had a life-limiting illness, such as stage 3 or 4 congestive heart failure or lung cancer?
Based on the study data, it would be appropriate for LM to continue his atorvastatin at this time. One of the major caveats of the study was that our patients with diabetes at baseline did not have an association with an increased risk for admissions for cardiovascular events once statins were discontinued in that population. The study investigators proposed that our patients with diabetes did not see such an effect because they were likely on medications that could also contribute to cardiovascular risk reduction. With that being said, our patient is tolerating the statin well, and his ASCVD risk factors are largely modifiable with the exception of his advanced age. Should he have a life-limiting illness, it would be beneficial to consider discontinuation of the statin to improve quality of life, decrease his medication burden, and also decrease those costs associated with medications. With that being said, there is greater evidence in special populations, such as palliative care, to support deprescribing chronic medications.
Well, Mara Karcheng, I want to thank you both for joining me today to discuss the use of statin therapy in older adults and the potential risks of discontinuing therapy. There's no question that statins are beneficial in those with established atherosclerotic cardiovascular disease and in many other high-risk patient populations. And given the results of this study, I think the decision to discontinue statin therapy hasn't been made any easier. Well, tell us what you think. Based on these data, would you be more reluctant to recommend statin discontinuation in older adults? Remember, only iFormRx members can leave comments and use the interactive features on the site. Membership is free to healthcare professionals, so sign up today. And be sure to tell your colleagues, residents, and students about iFormRx. If you are a board-certified ambulatory care pharmacist, I want to let you know that we have partnered with the American Pharmacists Association to offer this program for board certification for ambulatory care specialists. So if you want to earn recertification credit for this program, click on the link posted below the commentary on our website. And lastly, a big thank you to all the volunteers who do all the behind-the-scenes work that make iFormRx possible. A special shout-out to Elizabeth Cook, who is at the Robert Dole VA in Wichita, Kansas. Lizzie volunteered some years ago to write a commentary for iFormRx, and since that time, she's made numerous contributions by writing more commentaries, recruiting new authors, and serving as a peer reviewer. So thank you, Lizzie, for being a champion for iFormRx. And until next time, this is Stuart Haynes, editor-in-chief of iFormRx, signing off.